All right, let's kick it up for the National Hour on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening, live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. We're glad you're aboard. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Sean Reynolds, Sportsnet reporter for Hockey Night in Canada, covering the Winnipeg Jets. They're on another heater, ho-hum. What?
Do we get to talk? Do we get to talk about the trade board now? I know that was all exciting, but the trade board, I mean,
as Sam has just alluded to, I came out with my third edition of the trade board. We'll do another one outside of the Four Nations tournament, but with a month to go here, we've got some interesting names, so we'll definitely dive into those.
Yeah, we sure will. You traded Rantanen again.
Oh, yeah, wow. It's really turning into like a bizarro world for trades, and I'll go even outside of the NHL, obviously, with Luka in Los Angeles, and we're starting to hear some big trade, potential trades in the NFL as well.
We are.
That's you're wearing the hat, not me.
You're Rob Lowe wearing the nondescript, no team preference NFL hat.
Miles Garrett demanded a trade. And he's a good player. So, yeah, but I think that NFL trades are never really. It's like a good player gets traded for like a fifth-round pick. It's very NFL trades are a lot different. But
Cooper Kupp?
He demanded a trade too. But, I mean, I have a hard time. Do you think there's like a cross-sport inspiration? Like NHL guys see Luka Doncic gets traded. They're like, well, if they can trade him. If they can trade Rantanen, why don't we trade?
I actually think the Doncic one doesn't hurt. I think, you know, it's like we're not doing Doncic. We just did Rantanen.
I wrote today on as the opening of my Sportsnet.ca trade board is that I do believe trades like that are a reflection back to you on, okay, if they're putting their necks on the line here, what are we doing here?
Can't be a coward if other people are doing it.
Where are we? Are we looking at all our assets in a way where we can really define where we want to go from here on in? And I think it does force you to reflect a lot more when you see others, like I said, putting their you-know-whats on the line.
Yeah, you're sitting there staring at Erik Karlsson going, I'm not sure that this is the answer for where we're at in our life cycle here.
Well, Kyle Dubas is going to take a mulligan on that one for sure.
Yeah, I don't give mulligans, though. Unfortunately, you got to figure out what to do with that.
The team
you mentioned in there was Ottawa Senators.
Ottawa Senators. I think that they are looking at the last two games and going, we may have let something slip against Tampa Bay. Like I said in our first hour, they got Florida coming up. But in the meantime, they got to get this thing over the line here and make the playoffs.
Yeah, you think that's an Andlauer related thing? New owner trying to.
You're at this point here now, where you haven't done the usual sense thing where you've sucked at the start of the year and you've gotten hot and you kind of like are faking a playoff
race. You get
to
play games now.
You're in a race here. You've gotten this far. New owner. I'm sure there's a ton of pressure to get into the playoffs.
But
they want some gates.
Ton of pressure. A lot of pressure on me to remind everybody that Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365.
It sure
All right.
is.
Let's welcome in Sean Reynolds. He's been a great guest here. Tons of pressure on us now to like leave the drama to the Vancouver Canucks and get just to real hockey talk about a good hockey club. As you've noticed on our show, we're like attracted to hair on fire news. We don't really do good hockey clubs that just go out there and win.
Yeah. Stable.
Boring.
I'll tell you this, when I first started this job, I used to think that I came on when the Jets were trying to figure things out, you know, back in 2014, and I thought, man, I just want to, you know, cover a team that's like in the playoffs and steady and good. And those teams are boring because they just do the same thing over and over again. That's what this Jets team is. That, you know, if you're looking for action and, you know, fires to put out, it's not there. This team that They're this team that has a very good idea of who they are. They go out and they execute it night after night. They know every guy on the ice knows what he's supposed to be doing. Every guy does it. You know, it makes it hard to come up with questions afterwards because it's like, you know, you're like Bill Murray in Groundhog Day. They just do the same thing over and over again, and it ends up in wins. It's a, you know, consistency can be a little bit boring. So I understand why you like to go to the places where everyone's hair is on fire.
You just got a microphone. You guys were good, huh?
You know what? That would be one of my better questions in the last couple of months. So write me a few more if you've got them.
All right. Well, I do have a question for you. Kipper put out his trade board today. The Jets are fantastic. Does it make it harder to make a big move knowing it's like, we don't want to upset how perfectly things are going here?
Yeah, it's so interesting because their second line had been a problem last year and it had been a problem for the majority of this past year as well. And then all of a sudden now, Namestnikov and Perfetti and Ehlers look to have figured it out, right? And the Jets have had time to let things breathe and for people to figure things out, you know, because their first line is carried so much. And when they're not doing it, their defensive structure really is this, you know, the what makes this team so good. And then you've got great goaltending and everything like that. So they've had the time. And now all of a sudden that line is doing well. And you've got this little wrinkle where before he got injured, they moved Adam Lowry up to the second line center role. And it worked. Like, it worked really well. He and, you know, you may not think he's the same thing as Nikolaj Ehlers, but they're both at the heart of it, straight line players who like to get to the front of the net, and that just worked so well between them. So it's almost like you've got these built in options that you can go to, which exist already. I think the Jets need to see a little bit more runway with that second line to know whether or not they want to address it. But, you know, I'll say this. I think there was a little bit of a tell with Scott Arneil today who talked about, you know, some of the players in the dressing room. Mason Appleton had said, you know, almost came with the if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing. We're the best team in the league. And, you know, why mess with that? Scott Arneil, I thought, had a little bit of a tell where he said, you know, you take a look at the teams that have gone really deep the last number of years. They are, you know, dripping in depth. They've got all kinds of options. If you want to tweak things and go against a heavier kind of lineup, you've got that option. You want to go faster, you've got that option. So I think there's always something to be said about, you know, not upsetting the mix, but I wouldn't worry about that if I were the Winnipeg Jets, because as guys come in and out of the lineup, all the guys that they've brought in from the Manitoba Moose, who have been a struggling hockey team this year, come up. And they're all popping when they come up. So I think the Jets are that kind of team that, you know, you walk and you always hear this, you know, it's easy. When you're playing well, it's easy. I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. My role is really defined. The Jets, all their roles are really defined. So I think whoever they bring in, you know, and if you're bringing in hockey players, I don't see them having a hard time fitting in and working with this Jets team.
You're watching and listening to Sean Reynolds, Sportsnet reporter in Winnipeg, covering doing a great job for us on Hockey Night in Canada. So, Sean, in just saying what you're saying, and Winnipeg could probably win the next 8 out of 10 games that they play, but I don't think anyone will ever truly believe that, like, they'd be one of the favorites. It's Edmonton, it's Vegas, to your point a little bit here. And is there a danger if Kevin Cheveldayoff doesn't do something rather significant on the year that they should really go for it, it could come back and bite them?
Yeah, I'll go with that. I agree with that 100% because I think that this is, and let's be honest with ourselves, in years past, like last year, you know, Sean Monahan was one of the best gets as a center, and the Jets went out and got him. And at the trade deadline, they went out and they got Tyler Toffoli. They probably should have addressed their back end a little bit more than they did, but the Winnipeg Jets are a team that when they've thought they had a chance to do it, they go out and they add. So I'm not expecting them to do anything less. I think that they're going to be even busier than they were last year. But to your point, Kipper, everything with this Winnipeg Jets team and where they are right now, I think started 2 years ago in the offseason when everyone thought that they were going to be losing, and I think those players thought they were moving on as well, but Mark Scheifele and Connor Hellebuck. And the pitch that they kept them on there was like, well, we know you want to win a Stanley Cup, and we want to win a Stanley Cup. So what we can promise you is whatever we need to do to win a Stanley Cup as an organization, we are going to do. And so I think that that promise was, like, no doubt, Connor Hellebuyck, after that happens, he goes out, he wins a Vezina. He's going to win another one this year. He very well could win a Hart Trophy the way things are going. Mark Scheifele, second in the league in goals. He's having the best year he's ever had before. Those players have held up their end of the bargain. So I would expect them to expect the Winnipeg Jets as a franchise to hold up that end of the bargain. And to be honest with you, the way that Kevin Cheveldayoff conduct himself, the way that owner Mark Chipman wants this team to be, I would expect nothing less than them to spend or go get whatever they feel is in their power to put this team in the best possible situation to win a cup.
Sean, in preparing for a chat today, I'm looking through the Jets' stats. They're first in the NHL in goals for per game, first in the NHL in goals against per game. You know, you kind of go through the whole thing. It's just like, man, they're kind of good all over. The thing that stands out to me is they're first in power play percentage at 33.8%. Yeah. I'm just toggling back through the years to find out what the highest was every year. 10 years ago, 23%, 24.5% was the best you would see in the NHL. They are head and shoulders above, you know, what the best power plays have been. The Leafs kind of struggle to find it, even though they have all their talent. What makes theirs work so perfectly?
Okay, so you'd like to say that it's the players, right? Because you've got Kyle Connor and Mark Scheifele, who are right there, you know, 2 and 3 in the league in scoring. Gabe Vilardi is just like, his hands are so underrated. I think top 5 sets of hands in the NHL. He's so good in front of the net. Nikolaj Ehlers, they've added in there. The perfect, you know, top quarterback in Josh Morrissey. You know, and you'd like to say that it's just the personnel. But it's not just the personnel, because usually if they don't score, the second power play unit goes out and seems to score as well. And that's a whole bunch of, you know, like Vladislav Namestnikov and Neil Pionk and Cole Perfetti and Nino Niederreiter. Like this, you know, Alex Iafallo, who's typically on their fourth line, jumps up there. And those guys are scoring like crazy as well. Davis Payne, I think, has just been absolutely brilliant. And what he's done is taken a power play that at the heart of it, what they do is every guy gets the puck and he's going to take it to the net, right? And if you don't stop him, he's going to take it to the net. He's going to do something with it. So what you're doing is every time someone gets the puck, they are forced, the defense is forced to commit. But the Jets are also really good at moving the puck. So once that guy commits, you move it to the next guy. Then the next guy's forced to commit, and it's 5-on-4, and eventually you run out of guys to cover, and they are so good at finding the open man. And the other part about this is I've seen them go in certain nights, and a team will come in with a really aggressive power play. Other nights, the team will come in, and they'll kind of sit back a little bit. You will notice in games that the Winnipeg Jets play that quite often they'll score right off the bat because they come with a great game plan and their coaches have built something really well. But on the nights where the opposition coaching staff throws in a really good wrinkle, what I'll see is the Jets approach their next power play opportunity in the second period or the third period entirely different than the first period. What I'm saying is they learn, right? Like they go into a game and they learn, they probe the soft spots in the penalty kill, and they figure it out, and their guys on the bench. I saw a great interview with Davis Payne in the middle of the game where they were talking about the aggressive success that their opposition was having on the PK, and he said, yeah, we just didn't execute properly. They keep doing that. I like our chances on the next one, and sure enough, in the third period, they score on the power play. They know what they're supposed to be doing. Their coach knows how to crack open the opposition, so they're capable, they're smart, they've got the right mindset, and they've got a coaching staff that really knows how to crack into the opposition. And I just look at this, and I don't know how you stop this power play. Usually I'd have, you know, a little bit of insight on watching a team and saying, you got to do this. I don't know. I don't know that it can be stopped. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in the playoffs, because teams obviously elevate their games. But right now, the Jets look to have everybody figured out.
Sean, the news comes that Sidney Crosby is going to miss his next start for the Pittsburgh Penguins. I got to think Mark Scheifele already has a bag packed, and yeah, it's sitting at the front door, and it's got a ticket already for Montreal if, in fact, Sid cannot play in Four Nations. What are your thoughts on Mark Scheifele?
Well, I had said early on, watching the way he was playing, Mark Scheifele was going to be playing for Team Canada on my podcast. And, you know, when you make these proclamations, people love to point out when you're wrong. And I've been saying very loudly, I wasn't wrong. Team Canada was wrong on this well one. Said. There is no way Mark Scheifele should have been left off this team. He's big. He's strong. He's extremely committed to defense. He's so good at in tight plays. If you give him space, he'll kill you. He can score. He can pass. And I mean, I take a look back. If you just want some history of him with good players, when he played on Team North America, he made his way from the fourth line up to playing alongside Connor McDavid. He can play with stars. He can play with regular players. Mark Scheifele, it was a crime that he was left off this. And now I know Mark Scheifele's got a history. I know Mark Scheifele at times has been his own worst enemy. And I think he's been that with Team Canada. I think that caught up with him here. But it was it is going to be, especially considering that this, for the most part, I think is just going to be a tune-up for the Olympics. Getting Mark Scheifele in a Team Canada jersey and seeing him play alongside a lot of the players that you are going to be wanting, trying to win an Olympic gold medal for you, I think is really, if you are a Canadian hockey fan, you want to see Mark Scheifele get into that jersey and get into this tournament, because if he keeps playing like this, and you know he's a committed guy, I don't see him slowing down. I would be blown away if he doesn't find his way onto the Olympic roster next season.
And hey, let's be honest though, like one of the only two or three guys you wouldn't want to see miss it for Scheifele or Crosby. You know, like it's like,
yeah,
like can listen, love Seth Jarvis, but maybe you could tweak an ankle for Scheifele or something. Yeah. That might be nicer.
Yeah, yeah. Losing the captain and, you know, a guy who's on pace to maybe just maybe. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't think you'll do it, but I didn't think Ovi was going to get here as fast as he is. I take a look at Crosby and I think, you know, he keeps playing the way he is a couple more years, he's knocking on the door of second all time in scoring. That's not the kind of guy you want to lose, especially when he's still playing at a point per game pace.
Yeah, pretty baffling stuff. So good to take it out of Winnipeg, Kip. Yep. All right. Let's look around Canada a little bit, Sean. I know you're in touch with it all, and we've seen the Vancouver Canucks sort of remake their roster, a couple of major trades. You have seen how dressing room turmoil has impacted the Jets, and sort of them finding themselves on the other side of that. Do you think that Elias Pettersson has to go too, or do you think he can be a part of things healing for the Canucks?
I don't know enough about what went wrong there to know if that's the case. I know I've talked with some people who thought that, you know, Vancouver is thinking maybe they're going to have to get rid of both. Let's look at it, though, from the Jets' perspective, because what I do know is the Jets are at a place now where they are so unbelievably committed, and I think right now they're playing the most honest game in the NHL, right? Like they've won seven in a row, and they've won seven in a row because for seven straight nights I've watched them outwork the opposition. That it's not just that they're good, and they're good enough to win games that they're not the better of the two teams, but they're going out and they're leaving no question. That didn't used to be the Winnipeg Jets. The Winnipeg Jets, I think, used to play a very dishonest game. Connor Hellebuyck got the reputation he did because the Jets would just disappear in front of him and leave it to him to kind of save the day. They do have very opportunistic scoring, so I can't tell you how many games I watched where the Jets were just putrid on the ice. Their goalie kept them in it, and they went out and popped three goals in the third period and beat, you know, the lowly Ottawa Senators 3-2. That's how they used to play. The Jets got there by fixing their room. You've heard, and I mean, we see Rick Bowness works around there, works on Hockey Night in Canada. So I know a lot of people out there have had conversations with him. He came in and he knew he needed to fix the room, and clearly they needed to move a couple guys to do it. And those guys in the end were pretty obvious. It was Blake Wheeler and it was Pierre-Luc Dubois. And ever since then, that room has got tighter and tighter and tighter. And here's the deal. You know, Mark Scheifele adores Blake Wheeler. Josh Morrissey adores Blake Wheeler. Connor Hellebuyck, Kyle Connor, these guys adore that guy. It's kind of similar to JT Miller in the sense that, you know, people look and they think, well, how can it be a bad rumor? How can he be a bad influence if the guys love the guy? Mm-hmm. And in the end, there's just certain things that get away in the way of team unity. And if you can get them out of the way, I think the Winnipeg Jets are an example that you can cure cancer. That was a cancerous dressing room. They've cured it. And now this is what you see a Winnipeg Jets team look like. And I think I can tell you guys, I went in when Vancouver came rolling through town. They were pretty low. All that stuff was going on. Elliot Friedman had come into town to go see the team there. And I walked in and I was in that dressing room and I talked to one of my, you know, partners in the media. And I said, this room feels like the Jets room felt 5 years ago. And I said to that person, whatever stock you have in the Vancouver Canucks, sell it right now, because that room looks damaged to me. That said, they've moved that player, that, you know, a guy who was clearly central to whatever was going on there. And now you're seeing a little bit of a bounce back. I'm interested to see how long it carries on for. But you can, I mean, I think Winnipeg was the test case. If you talk to Rick Bowness on like the things you need to do to clear the path to let a room heal and let a room breathe. And I think they've started that process in Vancouver.
So clearly you like the Calgary Flames' chances of getting that last wild card spot.
Well, but they moved the guy, right? Like they moved JT Miller out of there, and all of a sudden they're getting results. I mean, Vancouver was the team that was, you know, duking it out for first in the NHL for most of last year, and then they fall off this year. I always, you know, again, every time I'm on with you, Kipper, I'm sure you've seen a lot. I'm sure you've seen a lot of rooms that really stunk, and I'm sure you've been in some really, really great rooms before. And sometimes it can be like heading in a direction and you don't even know that it's going there, and then suddenly it's there. I'm wondering with Vancouver what's going to happen now. Now that it's out of the way, maybe guys are going to be able to be more themselves. Maybe they can come back there. The one thing I know is they've got the higher end capabilities than Calgary has. Calgary's only hope is they just need to outgrind you. That's going to be tough to get over the finish line, just being that team that grinds and grinds and grinds and gets out points. When you're Vancouver, any team can grind. If you can get them working, and Rick Tocchet's brilliant, you can get them grinding, but they also can win games with a skill level that Calgary can't.
Well, just Demko, right? Like,
right.
Did that have something to do with how he feels lately? Is it coming off the injury where it's like it's behind him mentally now? But that guy hits another level and starts looking like Connor Hellebuyck, changes the dynamics in Vancouver.
Yeah, well, and I mean, I guess you're kind of getting that from in Calgary with Wolf, right? Like they already have that, right? So you make a good point. If you're adding pieces to the puzzle to complete that playoff picture, Demko's game, that puzzle piece has been missing. Whereas in Calgary with Wolf, that puzzle piece has been very present and, you know, probably one of the biggest reasons they are where they are right now. So you add that, and there's, I think you make a great point. It's just, there's a lot of things that you could start clicking in and going right for the Vancouver Canucks. It'll be interesting to see if those pieces start falling into place now that they've cleared a little bit of air out of the dressing room.
Sean, last one for me. Just chat about the Ottawa Senators here. They're in a playoff hunt, a real one. Potentially play the Leafs in playoffs. A couple of ways that things shake out. That seems very possible. They have had some injury issues, but are you a believer? You like the way this team is constructed as a potential playoff team?
I like the way they're constructed. I like their coaching, and I like it a lot. Travis Green, so I've done a lot of Senators games on Hockey Night in Canada this year, and Green is one of those coaches that you just love talking to because he's not afraid to tell you the truth of the matter, and he kind of gets in there. And this is a guy, I think, who just walked in, and I think his coaching staff were brilliant in going through that room before they got in there, addressing all the different guys, addressing what he thought they needed, and coming up with a plan for every single player on how they could increase their game. And I just love this story. They had a game earlier this year, early on. They were playing the Rangers, and they outplayed the Rangers. And it was when we still thought the Rangers were, you know, a cup contender. And they outplayed the Rangers, but got Shesterkin'd and lost the game 1-0. And I love this. Green tells us that he was, you know, went out and he saw Claude Giroux afterwards. And this is still when they're trying to figure out how to be a team that grinds, right? And a team that like shows up night after night. And he says to Giroux, you know, how do you think we played tonight? And Giroux says, I thought we were great. I thought we were the better team. I think that we should have won that game, right? And so the story is that that's Friday night. They're flying home to Ottawa, where I'm waiting to do the game, and then they're playing on back-to-back nights. And so Green says, I agree with you. We better do it again tomorrow. And the idea behind it is he's been trying to nail into those guys. Nothing matters more than consistency. And what I've seen from it is the Senators had a really good run of hockey right before Christmas, and then they tailed off. And I think all of us watching them the last couple of years are thinking, okay, the other shoe's about to drop. Here they fall. And Green is getting them into that never satisfied kind of thing. It's okay to fall, but you got to get back up. So, yeah, I think they were doing great. They ran into Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is that team that has that capability, and they flex their muscles on them. I like the chances that Green is going to get this team back on track to bounce back. I think they're not as fragile as they've been in the past. I think they've got their mindset on where they want to go. I like the team, and I like their chances.
Great stuff, Sean. Really appreciate you coming on today. And, you know, here on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, we like to think that we perform as honest as the Winnipeg Jets do every night, you know.
It's not what I'm seeing, guys, but you know, it's a mark to get to.
That's good analysis, I'd say.
Hey, yeah. And by the way, I don't know, for people that cannot see him on Zoom, you've got great hair today. Every once in a while I get a text saying, you know, JB's got great hair. But you're killing him right now.
He's got like a frosted tip in the front. What are you got? No, some blonde streaks.
You know what it is? It's actually it's like a veneer. It's like having like fake teeth on the front. I just worked out and I gave it a little slick. But if I turn like this, you can see the fault and all that's going on back there. It's I'm just barely holding it together, guys. Yeah, exactly.
So great job again. We usually get Doug McLean. He's a little under the weather, but you know, your segment here with the great hair and no crustiness was fantastic today, buddy.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks for doing this.
Well, hey. Before I go, I just wanted to say great list, Kipper, and it's people very, very interested in it in Winnipeg because, I think they're going to add.
Yes.
I think you nailed a lot of names on that list, and a lot of those names I think are names that the Winnipeg Jets as a franchise are looking at. So great job.
Wow, we're dumping Doug every Friday. You give me back compliments like that. Sean Reynolds, thank you very much, my friend.
Thanks, bud.
Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.
I just want to, like, read your list just name after name.
He's the man. I love Sean.
Sean's awesome.
You want to do that now, or you want to go to break?
We're gonna do game time, and then we're gonna come back, and we're gonna go through. We're gonna literally go name by name.
Okay.
He just listed the league who's not in the playoffs.
Too
that's bad. Who's available.
We're going name by name. People, what I didn't find out working in this business is that people just care about trades. Like trades are so like it's the start of the year, and then you make it into like this time, and all people care about is trades. Trades.
It's been the one consistent thing since I first started working at Sportsnet in 1998 is this the hockey trades, and we have trades in baseball, but it's not, at least up here, it's not the show.
Yeah,
football, whatever the case is, basketball
deadline's getting closer to the NHL in terms of interest. I think, you know, they did a bunch for it yesterday, but it's not here, like baby.
Trade deadline smokes the Stanley Cup final in ratings. Smokes it.
Game time.
I don't know if that's true, by the way.
Some Super Bowl, Sammy.
I was going to say, if it's Dallas and Florida this year.
Carolina.
It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So you were asking for some Super Bowl stuff, and I got it for you. You could spend legitimately all day on Bet365.
Combing through
all the stuff that's on here, and I'm not going to do a ton of it because there's just so many different things that you can bet on. But they have the Swifty specials, like I think I mentioned it earlier in the week, and I'm not really a Swifty, so I don't really know the names of her songs, right? But all these are like named after, like, is 1989 a thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? What is that, a big song?
I think it's the name of an album of hers. Okay. I think all her albums are named after years.
So let's say, for example, they have 1989, which is a Swifty special, which means Travis Kelce to have a reception for 19+ yards and to have 89+ receiving yards. So like, it's just, it's crazy stuff. Like,
that's,
I don't know who's
very concocted, whoever did that.
Yeah, very creative stuff. But the things that I wanted to bring up, I just want to look at the good old fashioned line, and it's really tight here. The Kansas City Chiefs are slight favorites on the money line. They're minus 120. The Philadelphia Eagles are plus 100. I have to say, Philadelphia, fantastic football team. I really, really like the trenches for them. Great offensive line, great defensive line. Their defense is great, great running back. Plus money.
Here's you.
I just can't do it.
But here's what else you know, is that the books, you know, they're designed to try to get bets on both sides of things. There's going to be a lot of bets on Kansas City because they're famous. People know them. It's the one time they bet a year, whatever.
They're also this fantastic. To me says,
of course. But this to me says that the Eagles are probably good bet.
I think in a
football-only sense.
Yes. The Eagles are a live underdog. But when it gets down to it, it's 3rd and 8, and it's Patrick Mahomes. He's going to just scramble the sideline, get the first down, throw to Travis Kelce, and the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl.
With all the things that come with that, you blaming the refs and all that.
Oh, and I'm wearing my ref hat today. So the last thing I'll bring up, I was mentioning all the Travis Kelce stuff. He was not featured much against the Bills. I think he only had 2 catches potentially in that game. The Bills still found a way to lose. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. Give me Travis Kelce to score the first touchdown of the Super Bowl at plus 750. I love that number. And on the other side of it, if you wanted to pick an Eagle in that, I love Jalen Hurts to score the first touchdown of the game, plus 550. They get down to the goal line. They do their stupid little tush push, and he scores the touchdown. So those would be my 2 picks for the first touchdown of the game. And I cannot wait, even though I despise both of these franchises.
Yeah, cool. And over-under on KFC eaten in pounds on the weekend by you? Or
no, I'm going to a party. You guys going to a party?
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not that you didn't get invited. So I'm going to a party. Shout out my boy John, unbelievable cook. I'm really looking forward to it.
Too big of a party because you can't watch the game.
Yeah, yes, you're right. No,
this is the worst take of all time.
No,
yes,
not.
You can watch
no,
the game.
You guys are
doing it wrong.
Then you get up, take a leak. Someone's in your seat. Can't have that.
Kipper, you have a mansion, buddy. You don't have enough seats for everybody. Anyways, I've never gone to a Super Bowl party where, like, I can't watch the game. Sit on the couch and watch the game. You're just too social. Anyways, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, we'll take a quick break and we'll go over this list. Our latest Sportsnet.ca trade board 3.0. It's my list on some of the names that are now surfacing that we'll keep an eye on. Mm-hmm. You're not going to want to miss this segment. Back when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Closing out the week here on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show with an army crawl to Friday. To the weekend.
No, we're sprinting across the line.
Are we sprinting?
We got trade board talk.
A bit of housekeeping. We were talking about it a little bit in the break. But next week with the Four Nations face-off and the no NHL hockey, on Monday coming off the weekend, so we'll do the Leafs coming off playing against the Canucks. We'll be doing two hours.
Normal show. Bam,
for
bam.
2 hours. And then from Tuesday to Friday, we'll be on from 5 to 6 only. So just the national hour we'll be doing. We'll still chat some Leafs in there, I would imagine, but there won't be much. We'll be doing more of the tee-up stuff for the Four Nations and trying to get on some bigger guests I guess that's my job that I'm talking about on the air. But anyways,
I'm not doing anything.
We'll be only on it for an hour from Tuesday to Friday next week. But on Monday, we're our regular 2 hours from 4 to 6. So there you go.
And I'm going to be writing about the Four Nations face-off too.
Let's go.
As a reminder, this hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. We get into some news and notes around the National Hockey League, which will center around my trade deadline board that you can find on sportsnet.ca. Left a few names on. The one that people are probably asking me the most about is Mikko Rantanen, who was traded, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
2.5 weeks ago?
Yeah.
To Carolina.
Okay, 2 weeks ago tonight.
And yet, I won't take him off my list.
Right. Interesting. So the implication here is if the Carolina Hurricanes don't feel like they can re-sign Rantanen, they don't want to risk losing him for nothing.
They don't want the
Gensel
situation.
Flip him.
That's the word I'm getting, is that they were willing to make this trade, but I'm not sure they were willing to watch another top player walk out the door for nothing, mm-hmm. especially when you consider that Nate Cash is
lighting it up.
Very good hockey player who had another year at $6.5 million. Mm-hmm. That's a heck of an asset with tremendous value. And then end up with nothing again. So that's the theory behind that. As of this week, my understanding is that there's no significant ground or talks about Rantanen signing in Carolina just yet. I mean, anything can change at any moment, but it's going to take a big number for Carolina to lock this guy down. And you can sit there and start saying, well, he's only got, what, 2 points in six games?
He does.
Is that right? Yeah.
It's been a slow start. One goal against Chicago.
I don't think that there's teams out there thinking that all this time this guy's been this great player because he got to play with Nate MacKinnon.
No, there's no doubt that he is an elite scorer still. Playing with MacKinnon helps a little bit, but there's no doubt he can create a lot of offense. So,
I saw somewhere that he's gotten, I think he's maybe over close to 1.4 points per game without MacKinnon in his career. Like, he's definitely a guy that drives his own. And you had alluded to the fact that there's still some shell shock from getting traded, going to a new situation. He's playing a lot less than, like,
2.5 minutes less.
Bednar really plays the guys. Plays them. Like, I mean, Nakesh has been up over 24 a couple times already there. So
I got to think that Carolina had to have known what they were getting themselves into.
I think it's a good move. You know, it's tough to get elite players. They trade to get one. They try to make him comfortable and show him we can win and we're competitive. If he doesn't want to do it, I wouldn't blame him for saying we just can't take that risk. But they need to be having talks right now and trying to make that happen, trying to push it over the finish line. Let's get to some other names on the list, unless you want more on that.
I'm good there.
Brad Marchand.
Mm. Yeah. I don't hear that they've made it a top priority as of now. I think they're still trying to figure out if they've got a team that's going to make the playoffs or not.
Because they've got a lot of guys there where it's like Trent Frederick, Charlie Coyle,
Brandon Carlo.
Are they all on your list?
Because we've broken this down into like four or five segments going into next month, I've left a few off because I just didn't prioritize them right now. But those
types on there,
those names, 100%, you're bang on here. So right now, I didn't want to take Brad Marchand off. I took Kadri off. I took Anderson off. But Marchand, I didn't want to go there based on, again, revisiting where teams are at, where the cap's at, what you used to be able to do in the past, and what you may not feel like you can take a chance on doing in the future. Listen, Brad Marchand's a staple there. We know that. But can you still, despite what you think of your team or where it's going in the next few years, can you just hand out a 3-year contract in the ballpark of $20 million, $25 million, because you just want him to retire a Bruin? Is that enough?
Well,
is it
on the Sid level of things where you're just handing him a retirement contract? Is like I don't know. But I went out. I went on with our old buddy Walker out there on Sports 1440 the other night, and we were talking about who they're looking at a trade deadline, and he mentioned that some fans out there have been kind of fantasizing about Marchand on the
Marchand
Oilers.
Marchand to the Oilers.
Imagine a top line with Dreisaitl, Marchand, and...
Buddy, can you imagine watching the Oilers win the Cup and Corey Perry and Marchand lift it back-to-back? It'd be a revolt.
I still have trouble...
exactly.
I still have trouble seeing Stamkos in a Nashville Predator jersey.
Especially this year.
I would have told you that Marchand and Stamkos would have been equal on... Your teams are never going to let you go.
You know what, though? It kind of reminds me of seeing Patrick Kane, seeing him go to the Rangers, and it's all right. And he goes to the Red Wings, and he kind of makes some new memories there and the whole thing. It kind of reminds me of, like, getting your first tattoo, where it's like you're worried it's going to be a big deal, and, like, what is it? And then you realize it's not a big deal to wear a different jersey or to get your first tattoo. And then you're like, fine, put me in another one. Give me another one. I'm fine. Marchand, it's not a huge deal. Go play for another team that can win a cup. What's the difference if you play for a second franchise or a third franchise? He's not losing his Bruins legacy. None of it's diminished,
it's a strong case,
because he plays somewhere else.
The tattoo case is a strong one.
And I will say, I feel slightly differently about Getzlaff wanting to be a one-jersey guy in Anaheim while watching Corey Perry chase cups around. The only thing that changes for me, cool that Getzlaff prioritizes family and all that stuff, as some people should. But I'd be like, Perry, that guy cares about cups. You know, that's like a hockey.
Yeah.
And it just changes your perception of guy. What is Marchand? To me, he's a cup guy.
I'm only thinking of Pete Davidson from SNL. He's taken all the tattoos off his body, and it's like...
he has?
Oh, yeah.
He's zapping them.
He's zapping all of them.
Oh, that's a process, man.
Like, he's saying that you got to go like 18 times, and they got to slowly
thousands of dollars.
Burn your skin off every time.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Why?
No. Why did you ever put them on?
Well, I think tattoos are cool. I don't have any, but I see somebody with tattoos, I'm like, that's cool. You're a cool person.
It's a meat shell.
You think?
It is.
Yeah, I think it's cool.
Do it every
day. I'm a tattoo guy. I like it.
Bumper sticker, right?
Yeah. I was thinking about getting a big sleeve with our three faces on it.
Yeah, don't do that.
I'm not going to.
We did Byram. We talked about him.
The one I believe the very least.
Yes.
Your whole list. Do you want to fight?
I know exactly what you're going to say, and I totally agree, Borny.
Sam Bennett.
Yeah, there's no way.
That's on here for ulterior motives.
Just watching Rantanen and watching all of it, I just won't take him off my list. And I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I write it. It's in the description that this one's going to be a tough one to move for a team that is trying to do something that very seldom teams get a chance to do, and that's win back-to-back Stanley Cups.
Yeah.
But
there's
still an issue
first
there.
First in the division.
Say what you will about the salary cap, but they're millions apart from what Sam thinks he's worth or what Florida is willing to pay him next year. So if you're willing to take that chance of renting your own player, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I think they would do that over trade him.
He's not having a wonderful year this year, Sam Bennett. You know, you don't judge him by his...
Who'd he fight the other day?
You don't judge him by his scoring, clearly, but like you'd like him to score a bit. He's 17 goals, -13 this year.
But he's still one of the best gamers.
Of course.
I
would love him on the Leafs 100%.
Imagine they traded to the exact team you're chasing.
Sure. How about Braden Shen?
Well, I was going to say, let's talk St. Louis.
Hold on.
Yes.
You got...
I think my buddy, Mike Snyder, who texted me about... Ask Kipper about Braden Shen. Yeah. I think my friend Mike started this trade rumor.
I think
he started it.
Narcissistic thing I've ever heard.
Well, no one had said it until I told him my buddy said it.
A reasonable suggestion.
It's not.
No one had said it. It was Mike.
You can say he was first. He created it.
He invented it.
St. Louis has gone through this kind of last week and a half, 2 weeks of can we go on a nice little run at home here and get ourselves back in it? I think it's to the point now where... the answer is no. And
last night was devastating.
Yeah.
Give one up with 11 seconds to lose a regular.
You're talking about trading another captain here. We just talked about Marchand in Boston. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the same thing here. He's 33 years old. He's got multiple years left on a deal. He's got a no move. He'd have to agree to it. But it's not stopping teams from calling. And
I imagine Doug Armstrong's getting a lot of calls.
Doug's in that kind of... I'll listen to anything mode right now.
You got Pavel Buchnevich.
Yeah.
Jordan
Who hasn't
Kyrou.
Started his extension yet.
Let's see, 6 years times eight or something crazy.
Yes.
Yeah. Kyrou, and Justin Falk.
Jordan Kyrou as well. Yeah.
Kyrou,
If he can't move Buchnevich, he'll take a look at Kyrou, who has a no trade or a no move kicking in July. It's wide open right now.
And so it's one of those things where I know he's told us on our show, he's got 5 first round picks coming in the next coming years. Eventually those guys, when they're good, are going to need money. If you don't believe Kyrou is going to be relevant in 3-4 years when these guys are good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can see Kyrou moving. I don't think Craig Berube wants him here
The thought a few years ago was that you're going to build around Robert Thomas and Kyrou.
Yeah.
And I think he might be halfway there right now.
Won't
take calls on Thomas.
I would not take a call on Robert Thomas. But he's a really good player.
Kyrou, yeah.
Bob Tom?
Yeah, there's talk here.
Buchnevich I like.
Has it just completely dried up the Parayko stuff? Because he was the number one guy last year everybody talked about.
A couple weeks ago, he wouldn't have conversations on Parayko. I don't know where it is now, but I think out of the three... And Torrey Krug's on long-term IR, but he desperately tried to get out of that contract last summer.
Krug?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, Krug. Well, they tried to trade it to Philly?
So Justin Falk's there at 6.5 as well. I don't think Justin Falk's played 35, 40 playoff games. If there's one guy that could maybe want to take a crack at it as early as this year. Mm-hmm. The whole thing with some of these guys still at 6.5 or whatever, and now we're getting into Seth Jones is on my list and Erik Karlsson's on my list is how much can you get to eat money? No one's going to do anything without eating money. So that's just the way it is. So I had heard that there's significant talks between Chicago and Dallas for Seth Jones.
Oh, wow. This being Haskinen concerns, probably.
But, yeah, I'm sure. But that would be like either bringing in a third team. And like any time that you got to shrink a guy's salary, you got to pay for it. Mm-hmm. So either I'm paying you or I'm paying a third team. Mm. But it gets expensive, but it's a way to make it work. And Erik Karlsson only has 2 more years left at $10 million. So if...
Make it eight.
If eight, seven, six, can you talk Dubas to eat $10 million just to get it off your books and pick up significant assets for it?
Well, the only way you're doing it is if you are picking up assets and you're assuming you're not going to be good next year anyway and it's going to run out the clock and the cap's going up and say, we'll eat three of it or whatever, four.
I'm intrigued by Erik Karlsson maybe going back to Ottawa.
Could you imagine Ottawa's D with Sanderson, Karlsson, and Shabbat?
Yeah.
I mean, how could you get a handle on that group? I mean, they make some mistakes, but they create some too.
You'd be nervous bringing them in a room, but there's some history there, some success in the past. Would he be more comfortable there again?
In 2016. That's a long time ago. Man.
I'm not listen,
about the
all
history
valid.
Or about
no,
the...
like just like when he was there. When's the last season he played? It was 2017 there.
It's valid. All of it's valid. But you can't go out and find these guys. They're hard to get. Right?
No kidding.
They're just you want to try to get your team better.
Karlsson business.
Really has to make the playoffs this year.
Although he helped the Leafs.
He would help the Leafs?
Yes.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
I'm good.
PP1, I know.
Sure.
That's where you have to have a lot of confidence in your room. And I'm not sure Ottawa's.
Oh, Toronto.
There.
Some big names on the list. You got Nelson. You got Dylan Cousins. Besser. Only goalie is John Gibson.
Outside of that, it's Georgiev, to be honest with you.
Georgiev?
Well, give me another name.
No, but like, who would... Forgiev, isn't that what his name? Like, who would?
Right.
Who would? Yeah.
Well,
Grubauer's out there too. Like, yeah. I don't know.
There's this theory now out there that you need three good goalies.
Oh, relax.
Right.
At least you gonna trade Matt Murray?
I don't think so.
No.
Trust. He's the third. He's the third guy.
At least of all teams do.
Yeah.
Philly, Rasmus Ristolainen, Scott Laughton.
I like him. I like him or Carlo in Edmonton.
Yeah. Ristolainen?
I think Ristolainen's come a long way. I think a lot of these really long rangy guys take a long time to really be the best versions of themselves.
Yeah. But Edmonton would need to get Carlo's salary down to about 2.5, 2.7.
Edmonton? Who said anything about Edmonton?
What's that?
He did.
Oh, yeah.
He said he liked Ristolainen or Carlo.
Yeah.
For them.
You gotta get those salaries down and you gotta give up some assets, some recent assets.
Mathieu Olivier.
Still I got to go by what Donnie Waddell told us on our show, about a month and a half ago. Loves him, doesn't want to move him. But I don't know what it's going to cost, $2.5-3 million a year. Can he get $10-12 million on a long-term deal? I think he can.
Pretty effective at his role, yeah.
And a lot of contenders right now would love to have him on your fourth line.
As much as they would love to have Alex Kerfoot.
If Brad Living traded for Kerfoot back, I'd have to. I would not do the show.
Lawson Krause is on my list.
Yeah.
And again, I don't think Utah's in a position to give him away. But if you make us an offer we can't refuse, he's interesting to me.
Yeah. I wonder if Utah feels any pressure to like add and keep being competitive in their first season before they name their team.
Krause is huge.
Yeah, they're hard to find.
6'4", 220.
Anyways, like I said, if you get a chance, go on sportsnet.ca and take a look at the list. Love to get your thoughts. All right. Week's over.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Doug McClain.
The weekend.
Not feeling well. We wish you the best. I don't
know. Flu, baby.
Sometimes I kind of think, you know, is he pulling a Ferris Bueller on us?
Bueller.
Is he going to end up in a parade singing Twist and Shout?
Maybe he lost it all last night.
Or is he really sick?
Bueller.
Reach out,
Bueller.
Dude. He's at Doug McClain. Reach out and tell him
Bueller.
Get well soon for us, okay?
Yeah, great.
Have a great weekend, everybody.